a little strange, considering that we've been in the book of Joshua for the last 2 months, right? The last 8 weeks, we've been settled in Joshua. But this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn to Joshua chapter 3. We aren't finished with our Proverbs chapter 3. We aren't done with Joshua yet. There's still more to come on that. But for today, we're just going to take a time out. We're going to take a pause, and we're going to look at this portion of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, in light of Grad Sunday. We've already recognized our graduates. We've prayed over them. Each one of these students have walked across the stage somewhere. They've received their diploma. They've turned their tassel over along with the rest of the graduating class of 2026. And some of these students have plans. We already heard some of these plans. And the other graduates, they have plans. Some of them are going to go right off to college. That might be what's on their docket. Others might be going into a full-time job right out of school now that they've graduated. Some might be joining the military. Others might not have any idea what the next chapter of life looks like for them. They're all in different stages, but that's okay because not every path has to look the same. Amen? We don't all have to walk the same path. But more than recognition, this morning is a time for us to reflect as a church and ask this important question. All of us should ask this, whether you're a graduate or not. What does it mean to live a life that matters? Not just for a moment, for a lifetime. Think about that again. What does it mean to live a life that matters? Not just for a moment, like on a day of celebration and recognition, but for a lifetime. I want you to take a moment. I want you to think back to your graduation day. Now, for some of you, you have to think back a lot further than others. That's okay, all right? Think back to your graduation day. I'm thinking about my graduation day. In fact, I was standing in the Tacoma Dome with over 600 other graduates in my graduating class back in June of 1990. And I remember standing there in this huge building, this huge arena, and I was just wondering, not sure what the next phase of my life would look like. I had ideas. I thought I knew. But what it would look like. In fact, I think I have a picture from my graduation day. Do we have a picture of that graduation day? There I am. Long hair and all. Just saying. That's me with my pastor in my church, Pastor Wes Linseth, and my youth pastor, Jim Hance. They came to my graduation. They sat through over 600 names being read in the Tacoma Dome for graduation service. I stood there kind of, okay, Lord, I think I know the plans you have for me, but it's still kind of overwhelming. I'm sure, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to step out, but what does the future look like from this day forward? Now, I have to say this. I didn't have all the answers back then, and I still don't have all the answers today. But what I have learned is this. You don't have to know the whole path in order to walk with God. You don't have to know the entirety of the path before you to walk with God. All you need to do is just take the next step. If you think about it, graduation is more than just a ceremony. It's really a crossroads in your life. It's a moment when you turn the page and you're going on to a new chapter of life. And when as that happens, there's questions that start coming just quickly. And they're fast. And questions like, what should I do next? Where should I go? How do I know if I'm headed in the right direction or not? How do I know? And while this morning we're taking time to honor these graduates, really this message that I'm going to share today is really for each and every one of us who are in this room and those who are joining us online. Whether you're finishing high school or you're facing retirement, life is filled with those moments when we ask, where do I go from here? What's next? And here's the good news. God hasn't left us to figure that out on our own. He has given us wisdom, not just for graduating, but for living. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 give us a pathway that we can follow, not to worldly success, but to a life that truly is built to last. Now, that kind of life doesn't come all at once, okay? This type of life, it just doesn't, it's not built in giant leaps. It's built how any path is walked, one step at a time, step by step, decision by decision, trusting God, not just for the entirety of the journey ahead all at once, but for the next move, the next faithful move that we need to take with the Lord. There's a woman named Elizabeth Elliot. Maybe you've heard of her before. She's a famous missionary, an author. She wrote stories of her and her husband's experience on the mission field. She said this once from her experience. She said, "When you don't know what to do next, just do the next thing." Pastor Warren Wiersbe said something very similar. He said, "When you don't know what to do, do what you know to do." That's how lives are formed. That's how futures begin to unfold. And that's exactly what King Solomon is talking about here in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Listen to what he says here, Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. He writes, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." Now, these aren't words that Solomon is writing here that are for a short-term motivation. He's not like a motivational speaker here, okay? These words that he are writing are words about a long-term direction in life. So here's the question for us this morning. How do you move forward when you don't know what the future holds? And here's the answer to that question right here. We walk with God one step at a time. When we don't know what the future is going to hold for us, when we're not sure, we might think we know, we might try to guess and understand that we know. Our reality should be this: we walk with God one step at a time. And that's the title of this morning's message. If you have your program on the back there, you'll see the outline. 4 points this morning, message titled Step by Step. If you want to do it online, you can also go to wfa.church/livestream. And you can follow along there as well. So here's what Solomon says. If you're going to walk a journey with God one step at a time, you need to do what number one says. Commit your confidence. Commit your confidence. Look at verse 5 again, the first part of verse 5 with me. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart." Listen, friends and graduates, all of us together, the goal isn't to have your whole life mapped out all at once. It's to trust God who already knows the way. Can I say that again? It's not that you have to figure it all out all at once. It's putting your trust in the one who knows the way, who already knows the future, already knows the purposes and the plans that he has for your life. The Hebrew word for trust is batak, which means to lie helpless and face down. It literally means that, okay? It's not cautious, it's complete. It's not testing the water with your toes, it's jumping in with both feet, full immersion. And that's the kind of trust that God is talking about here in verse 5, when it says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart." Now, in the Hebrew way of thinking, the heart isn't just the seat of your emotions. A lot of times in Western culture, we consider our heart as the seat of our emotions. That's not the way it is seen in Hebrew culture. In Hebrew culture, it is the seat of your thoughts and of your desires. So trusting God with your heart means that you surrender your decisions. You surrender your reasoning and your desires to him. See, trust is the first step that we have to take this morning. If you're going to walk with God, you've got to take it one step at a time. And that first step must be confidence in the character of God, who he is revealed to us. We know his character through his word, and it's that confidence that comes in his character. That's a part of that first step. Graduates, I don't want to be a downer on you this morning, but there will be times when your friends will let you down. It's going to happen. There are going to be times when your plans don't work out the way that you thought it would. And it's in moments like that that you are going to have to decide, who am I going to trust? Who am I going to follow? Who am I going to listen to? And if the answer to any of those questions is anybody but the Lord, then you are in for a rough road ahead. There's a gentleman named John Paxson. He was a famous missionary in the South Pacific. back in the 1800s. And while he was there, he was translating the Bible into the native language of the islanders. And he came to a struggle when he came to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. He couldn't find a word in their native language that coincided with the English word trust. And then one day, a local man came into his hut, and he was exhausted, and he literally just kind of fell into the seat, this chair that was there. And as he did that, he uttered a phrase that basically meant, I am resting all of my weight here. And when missionary John Patton heard him say that, he said, that's it. That's exactly it. So when he went to go and translate Proverbs 3, 5, he used that exact phrase that man had used. Because when it comes to biblical faith, faith isn't cautious. It is resting our full weight on God. That's trust. Amen? That's trust. So graduates and everyone else in the room, trust God. In your pursuits, trust God in your career. Trust God in your relationships. Trust him when the path is smooth, and trust him when the path isn't smooth. Trusting him not just for your salvation, but also trusting him with your schedule, your future, and really even your identity, who you are. Here's the key. If we're going to trust God with all of our heart, it means we have to stop trusting something else. And that is our own perspective. Point number two on your notes. Confront your limitations. Solomon goes on to say in the second half of verse 5, and do not lean on your own understanding. I've got some very good news for you this morning, friends. God isn't looking for perfection. Aren't you glad for that? He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for surrender. And just taking that next faithful step. I've got a confession to make this morning, and if I know this is going online. Once it's on the internet, it's there forever, right? So a little disclaimer here. You should not do this. I do not condone the actions in which I'm going to share this morning, or to you in the room, or any children who might be hearing this podcast later on, okay? My friend Tyler and I, when I was growing up, my parents, we had a pool in the backyard. Now, this is Western Washington. So having a pool in Western Washington is an anomaly in and of itself, right? Is it ever warm enough to swim during the summer? Sometimes. Sometimes we enjoyed it. It was good. But many winters would come, and that pool would have ice over it. The question is, how thick was the ice? So my friend Tyler and I, first let me just say, there's a deep end of the pool, and there's a shallow end of the pool. We would test the ice on the shallow end of the pool. And we would go and we would kind of to see, you know, just we're thinking, we're just going to see how much pressure this ice can take. You know, so we get on the shallow end and we'd go and just take a little step over the step. Would it hold us? We'd try that. And if we took one, we'd say, okay, it's good. Then take another one and take another one. And eventually when you get to the halfway mark, you are committed because either you have to go backwards or you have to go forwards, okay? So we were using our thinking, not very smart thinking, as a bunch of young teenage boys. Let's go out and let's test this water. Let's see how thick this ice is. Will this ice hold us? And friends, leaning on your own understanding is like going and stepping on frozen water over a pool or over a pond. I'm not going to tell you whether or not we fell in or not, but you can just take a guess, okay? Leaning on your own understanding is like that. It looks safe. It might even feel strong, but it just takes one misstep, and guess what? You are soaking wet. That's what leaning on your own understanding is like. And Solomon says here, listen, don't trust and don't lean on what you know. Lean on the one who knows it all. Lean on him. There's a pastor, his name is Adrian Rogers. Recently graduated to heaven. He pastored a huge church over on the east coast of the United States. He has this quote, he said, and it's just stuck with me for a long time. It says, the will of God is not a roadmap. It's a relationship. If you know him, he will guide you. The will of God is not a roadmap. It is a relationship. If you know him, and this is a promise, he will guide you. So when the door that you are counting on closes, don't panic. When the scholarship doesn't come through like you thought it would, it's not time to give up on the goodness of God in your life. When your dream plans take a detour, remember this. What you might see is only a part of a chapter, but God knows the entire story of your life. And you can have faith and you can have trust in the fact that He is the one who guides you and leads you. You don't need to know all the answers. You just need to know the one who holds them. He has the answers. He knows the way. He is the way. Graduates, you may not know where you will be 5 years from now. You might have plans and hopes and dreams for that. But if you start walking with God today, when that time comes, you will be exactly where you are supposed to be in that stage of your life. That's a promise. It starts with walking with God today. So what do you do in the meantime in this season of life? What do? You keep God in every corner of your life. Point number three on your notes this morning. Cultivate awareness of the presence of God. Solomon goes on in verse 6 to write this. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. The world says, build your platform. God says, follow me. One of those will last. One of those will fail. Guess which one? In fact, I know there's this big thing with kids. People want to ask kids, what do you want to do when you grow up? What are your plans for the future? When you're all grown up, what do you want to do? In fact, I think I remember our girls, when they were in high school, they'd have like these fairs that would go on, career fairs, and trying to help students engage with different opportunities that might be careers for them in different lanes. Well, I remember when my son, Braden, was about 11 years old. He knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to be a YouTuber. Now, he had heard and learned that people can make a lot of money on social media. Now, for him, he liked to do these video games. He would record these clips of these video games. And so he created like this little channel, had a name on it, and he could put those things on here. Now, he was just kind of checking it out. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. What if someone could do this for a living, Dad? I could do this for a living. And I'm just like, okay. The world says build a platform. The world says get your name out there. It says you have to be famous. That's what it says. God says come and follow me. One of those will be successful and the other one will not. One is going to last and one will fail. Solomon says in all your ways acknowledge him. Don't acknowledge yourself. Don't prop yourself up. He said acknowledge him. Now, to acknowledge God doesn't mean just admitting that he exists, okay? That God is just out there somewhere. Okay, I believe that God exists. It's more than that. Acknowledging God means you submit your plans, your path, and your heart to him. That's acknowledging. It means asking not just what do I want, but asking what will honor the Lord in my life. Graduates, before you go somewhere, invite God into it. Before you accept that job offer, pray about it. Before you make a big decision, ask the question, will this bring me closer to God or will it push me further away from Him? Corrie Ten Boom, probably another name that's very familiar to you, the Dutch woman who famously helped rescue Jews during the Holocaust. They would hide them in her home, and there's a whole book that's been written about her life and experience. She used to ask a very important question, and it's a question I think it's good for us to ask today. Here's what she said. Is prayer your steering wheel, or is it your spare tire? In other words, is God the one that you run to first, or is He only your last resort? Graduates, if you're going to continue your education, pray over your schedule. Pray about the root of your education. Bring Jesus into your career plans. Let Him shape your dating life and your friendships and your finances. Invite Him into your ordinary, and God will make you extraordinary. He will guide you and He will lead you. And when you do those things, when you keep God at the center of your life, here's what happens next. He leads you. Point number four, confidently follow His lead. The last half of verse 6, Solomon says, and He will make your paths straight. This isn't a wish here. This is a promise. He will make your paths straight. And that's the confidence we have when we are walking with the Lord. It doesn't matter what phase of life you're at. That's the confidence that each of us will have as we walk with the Lord. We have that promise that He will make our paths straight. God doesn't hide His will. In fact, I would venture to say that He is in it with you as you're walking with Him. Direction in your life is a result of relationship. God doesn't promise that you'll always know everything in advance. Wouldn't that be great if we knew everything in advance? That's not the way that it works. If you believe that, you're in for a sad mistake. But He promises that He will never leave you, or you will never stay in the dark as long as you walk in the light of His word. In the Christian life, what we don't need is some giant floodlight that illuminates the whole pathway in front of us. Do you know what we need? We need just enough light so that way we can take the next faithful step with Jesus. That's what we need. Sometimes we think we need the whole thing. He's like, no, you need to trust me one step at a time. That's how God leads us, step by step. You don't have to have it all figured out. Isn't that good news? We don't have to have it all figured out. Don't chase clarity. Chase Jesus. Because when you follow Him, that's when your path becomes clear. Can I say that? As you trust in Him, as you walk with Jesus, that's where the clarity in life comes from. It's by walking with Him, following with Him. And when you do those things, that is a life that is built to last. It's a life that's lived one obedient step at a time. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come out and join me this morning. Graduates, you don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to go viral. You don't have to try to impress the world around you. You just have to walk with Jesus. That's what it comes down to. If I could look back at my graduation so many years ago, I'm so grateful that I had people who spoke into my life and encouraged me to walk with Jesus. Because if they hadn't, I wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't be experiencing the blessings in my life had not those come alongside of me and helped me and understand that a relationship with Jesus is just taking one step at a time, walking faithfully and obedient with Him and His will. We just have to walk with God. That's how you build a life that lasts. Trust God fully. Don't lean on your own understanding, acknowledging Him in everything and letting Him lead you one step at a time. The famous explorer David Livingstone made a great statement once. Listen to what he said. He said, "I am willing to go anywhere as long as it's forward." I'll go anywhere as long as I'm moving forward. One of the things I loved about my dad loved golf. He was just a golf enthusiast. He loved to play. And so when I got old enough, I wanted to be like my dad and I wanted to play golf. So he would teach me things. He'd show me how to interlock my fingers and how to hold a club. And he would show me the things. And I'd watch golf on TV with him. And it looked so easy, right? You got a ball and you got this club and you just hit that thing and the ball goes. And you just get up there and you tap it in the hole and you're good to go. My dad would take me golfing. Didn't work out quite the way I thought it would. In fact, I'm making all kinds of confessions this morning. I think it was the second time my dad took me golfing. I was teeing up on one hole, and there was another hole that ran alongside of this hole. And so I literally went to tee, and I hit the ball, and it went just like this. And there was a guy putting on the green on the other side of me, and it literally took one bounce and hit him right in the backside. And I did, as any 12-year-old boy would do, I completely just sat down and acted like it wasn't me. He was looking around, where'd that ball come from? And I was just sitting down, talking, cleaning my club, all this kind of stuff. It wasn't me. No matter how hard I tried to get that ball to go straight. It would go this way. It would go this way. If there was a body of water in front of me, my ball would find it every time. If there was a bunker out there with sand in it, guess what? It was like a magnet for my ball. I just wanted to go straight like my dad. And my dad taught me a very important life lesson that morning, not just for golf, but for life itself. He said, it's always about forward progress. It's like, hey, guess what? This time, your ball went 10 feet further than it did last time. You're almost to the ladies' tee, Darth. You're almost there. It's always about forward progress. And over time, I did start to learn some things. And eventually, I can drive a ball right now. I can actually get it to go somewhat straight, not every time. But I can, if with that life lesson, forward progress. And friends, forward is where God will take you if you will trust and follow him. That's where he'll take you. Class of 2026, graduates, I want to leave you with this. Don't chase a path. Follow a person. Don't build a platform. Build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Because if you will walk with him one step at a time, you will never be lost or alone. Let this be the prayer of every graduate and every person here today. Lord, I will trust you with all of my heart. I will not lean on my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge you. And when I do, I believe that you will direct my path one step at a time. That is how a life is built. That's how a legacy is formed and how a generation can be changed. One decision, one surrender, one step at a time. Thinking back when I was in high school, there was a popular song at that time by an artist named Rich Mullins. And it was, I mean, it was, this song was like the song of a decade. Like you, and the chorus of this song is so simple, but yet it is so meaningful. And the words he wrote say this: step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. I can't think of a better prayer for each and every one of us to pray today and tomorrow and the next day. Step by step, Lord, I believe and trust that you are leading me. And I know that you will lead me all of my days. But it takes trust, it takes obedience, and it takes surrender. Let that be our prayer today. Let it be our mindset and our mission. Step by step, you will lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Would you stand with me across the room this morning? Heavenly Father, as we stand across this room today, as we've taken some time, Lord, to celebrate what you were doing in the lives of these young people, as we think back at our own lives and we see the goodness of God in season after season after season. God, you've been faithful, you've been good, and we can give testimony to that fact this morning. But Lord, today, every single one of us who are gathered here, those who are watching online, God, we can make this prayer be the prayer of our everyday. That we could start our day by saying, Lord, step by step, we trust and believe that you are leading us. And then we in turn can say, God, I will follow you all of my days. I know that you are here. I know that you love me. I know that you have purposes and plans for me, Lord, and I can trust in those things, but it requires me walking in step with you. There is a wonderful blessing that's promised to those that you love, God, but I recognize that I need to surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And it's not just a one-time event, but it's daily surrendering to you, Father. Thank you for your promises, God. Thank you, God, that as we get our eyes off ourselves, God, we place our eyes on you. We know, God, that you will sustain us, God, that you will help us, God, and you will guide us. Lord, thank you that we can put our faith in someone who is greater than ourselves. So, Lord, this morning, may all of us today say, Lord, would you guide and lead us? Whether we're graduating high school or facing retirement or whatever phase of life we find ourselves in, God, would you lead us? That we'll be the people you've called us to be, that we'll have the impact you want us to have. God, that we will be testimony to the world around us that there is hope in a God who loves everyone, who has purposes and plans for their lives as well. God, this morning we will declare the goodness of God. We just thank you, God, for your presence here today. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Everyone said, amen. Can we just